Welcome to the Keto Lifestyle Podcast, hosted by nutritional coach Jessica Tai, where we are dedicated to promoting health and overall well-being through nutrition, specifically the ketogenic diet. We will provide you with all the latest science in nutrition, interviews with experts in the health and wellness field, and answer all your burning questions so you can find optimal health. This podcast is not intended to be used as medical advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your doctor with any and all medical questions. Now here's Jessica.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 35 of the Keto Lifestyle Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Tai. Man, I cannot believe it is episode number 35. I think I said that when it was episode 25, but it is just flying. Well, with me here today, I have Derek.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So glad that he was able to join me. And this is kind of a treat. We'll see how the acoustics are in here, but we are actually recording this episode of the podcast out at our new cabin.
Yay.
I have a special announcement.
That sweet little voice is my six-year-old, Gabby, who wanted to be on the podcast. So I let her break in with a special announcement to let you know if you just want to get to the meat of the podcast today, Derek and I do banter back and forth for a while on. So you might want to fast forward to about minute number 22 or so. Although we do talk about some fun keto meal ideas in this portion. Regularly scheduled podcast. We finally have it completed. It's all done. All the renos have been done. We've been working on this for,
three months, I guess.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. We did some, if any of you guys have been kind of following me on my social media, you've seen, or even listening to podcasts, you've heard us talking about this property. And it's amazing. I'm sitting here at the dining room table and I've got a full view of the entire cabin. I'm looking out the front porch. The porch swings are gently swaying. There's a breeze outside and we got a fire going in the wood-burning fireplace and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I got to work here this morning before you got here and it was absolutely gorgeous to just have the fireplace going, have the house to myself, and have a cup of coffee, and just get my work done in a real peaceful way.
Yeah.
And do my prayers and devotions here all by myself. So
I can imagine. It's so calming here and just so, it's warm, you know, like it just feels warm and inviting and cozy.
With all the wood walls and everything, and people see it on Facebook or Instagram, but the other thing too is I feel like this could be like a writer's retreat
or even musicians
that are trying to write a new album or, you know, kind of do a new, I mean, it's kind of got that inspirational. You look around you, it's trees, woods, beautiful scenery, the horizon line. I mean, you get a long view here.
I mean, you're in the middle of like everything. Literally, you're just a couple of minutes off of one of the major highways here in Cincinnati, the 275 belt here. But we're just a few minutes off of that, literally like 5 minutes at the most from that exit. But it feels like you are in your own private retreat. I know last night I cooked dinner for our family for the first time last night out here. We're recording this on a Monday and we had a big Sunday dinner here with Derek's family last night. So his brother and my sister-in-law and their two boys and Derek's mom and father-in-law, they were out here. My father-in-law, her husband. So it was just amazing.
And our five kids.
Yes, and our five kids.
And they each brought a kid. And then we had two friends.
That's right. Two of our kids brought friends. So it was just so much fun, though, to just be out here. And I mean, everybody just loved it. We started out when the sun was out and it was still daylight and it was gorgeous. And the kids were playing out in the field. You know, it's on 6.5 acres. So there's a bunch of what will be pastures when we re-fence everything, but all the fencing is currently taken down. But so it's just a big open field and the kids are playing out there on dirt bikes and, you know, little electric bikes and just having a blast and playing outside. And then we were all, you know, the adults are in here just talking and hanging out, got a fire going and it's just so nice. And then as the lights go down, we watched the sunset last night, which is just spectacular here. And then as the lights go down, you know, everybody was talking about how, you know, my sister-in-law was like, man, I like it so much better this time of night. It's so beautiful because the sun goes away and then it just warms up in here. The lighting is so warm and beautiful and the fire was going and it was just such a relaxing, evening and so much fun with our family. And I thought, man, when people do start renting this place for vacation, they're not going to want to go home.
Yeah, literally, we're going to have to come and kick them out or something.
We're going to be like, sorry, guys, you've got to go.
check out times at 10 unless you're staying another day. But we'll probably have a booked side. I mean, that's the tough part about doing these vacation home rentals is you've got to be able to turn the units over because you have one of them, right? So if someone's leaving at 10, someone else is coming at 4, and you have 5 hours or so to clean the entire house
This one's going to need that full 5 hours.
I know,
too.
That'll be with probably two people here doing the cleaning. Yeah. But anyway, so that's another topic. But dinner last night was amazing.
Yeah, the dinner was fun. So I made a keto dinner. Actually, I did a two-part. So I'll tell you guys about this. Since you're listening to the Keto Lifestyle Podcast, you'll probably be interested in what I actually made for everyone and what we kind of enjoyed together. So not everybody in our family is keto, which you guys know that from our, you know, from these podcasts. Some of our kids are not and whatnot, but furthermore, extended family is not. However, I have recently started coaching my sister-in-law, so she's wanting to be keto for sure. She's kind of struggling with some health issues and has been for a while and is just done. You know, she's ready to get past these. And then so my brother-in-law is kind of, you know, definitely not following it as much as she is, but he's trying to kind of be on board a little bit, I think, too. So I thought, well, you know what? I know my mother-in-law and father-in-law are not. They're very traditional. You know, they're in their 70s and they, you know, have eaten a certain way their whole life, and I'm not going to change them. So that's fine. So I wanted to make, I just had this craving for my spaghetti squash pizza bake meal. Oh my gosh, I love that so much, and I haven't made it in a while, and I don't really know why. I just haven't. And I was craving that so much. And so I thought, well, I want to make that, and then I'll make some keto breadsticks to go with that. And then from the rest of my family that is not ketogenic, some of my kids will not even touch that spaghetti squash bake. I thought, well, I'll just make a lasagna. So some of our people in our family have to be gluten-free. So I made a gluten-free kind of traditional lasagna. So I did that and made that for everybody. I knew the rest of the family would like that. And then I made the spaghetti squash bake. I did make some regular garlic bread for everybody else, made some keto bread. And then maybe the most fun thing I did, I'd never done this before, is from Costco, I bought the big bag of, they sell those big bags of romaine lettuce. And so the big leaves, the intact lettuce heads. So I took those and I, you know, pulled the leaves apart and I put two leaves kind of cupped together on salad plates. And then I cut up some organic grape tomatoes, mm-hmm. and put those inside the lettuce cups. And I cooked some bacon, and then I crumbled that bacon pieces over top of the tomatoes. And then I put a little bit of the Primal Kitchen avocado ranch dressing.
Really good, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And I had bought this amazing grass-fed organic goat cheese crumbles. I forgot to put on top of them.
Can we do it again?
I know. I'm totally going to do it again.
Well, it's funny because Tanner, who's 16, he's normally doesn't eat anything that he doesn't have to
eat.
Well,
he always complains about everything.
But he went up for three of those salads.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, if I had known this. So I don't know why I'd never done that before and why it just occurred to me, but I wanted to make a salad to go with the dinner. And I was thinking it really either a Caesar or some kind of ranch. And I thought, oh, these BLT, I'll make like these BLT lettuce cups. That sounds so good. And I don't know, it was divine intervention. But it was amazing. So he went back and got them. And he's like, Mom, will you make these again? I'm like, dude, I'll make those every night if you'll eat that. Like, that's awesome for him.
I know. I thought you could even put them in a lunch form.
Yeah. That was a great suggestion. So I'm going to make those. But the whole family raved about those lettuce. People just kept going, oh my gosh, these are so good. And it was the least amount of work I probably ever put into a salad.
Very inexpensive.
It was amazing. And it was so fun. So this kitchen.
And it looked really cute.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And
so did you get pictures?
I did take a picture. Your mom took a picture of me making those. So I will put a shot of that maybe on social media. So the greatest, the most amazing thing about cooking that dinner out here last night was I loved having everybody out here. It was really fun to have the family here and just enjoy. And like, I mean, I would totally move into this house in a heartbeat if I could. I love this house that much, which is interesting to me because though we've stayed many times in cabins and chalets on vacations and stuff, I never actually thought I would want to live in one. Like, mm-hmm. I've always kind of thought that's not modern enough for me. And, you know, I don't know if I would want all those wood walls all, you know, everywhere. Like, maybe that's going to be too dark. But I don't know. Maybe it's in my ripe old age of 40 now that I just... there's just something so simple and homey and beautiful about this place. And I think my most favorite thing about last night was just standing in the kitchen. The way this house is set up and the kitchen is set up, it's so open and so integrated in part of the house. And it's huge. And it is just an amazing space to work in. And I think just having that gigantic island that I was working on and was, you guys were all right here. I felt like I was just part of everything. Like I wasn't so removed mm-hmm. from everybody. I mean, even in our other house, which is fairly open, I still kind of feel like when I'm in the kitchen working, I'm like kind of in my corner and everybody else has to, you know, yeah. But so that brings me to the other really awesome event we had here this weekend was my birthday party. Finally. So even though I actually turned 40 on February 10th, you were traveling and we had a bunch of other scheduling reasons that we couldn't actually do the birthday party until March 3rd, which was just this past Saturday. But again, the kitchen for that event was amazing. And the chef and sous chef that we hired to come out and make dinner raved about
it was perfect.
How great it
and
was.
And everybody got to watch them. It was like being in the farm table. They're a farm to table chef, which is ironic because they're in this farm to table environment. And we're literally table side. We had to set up two tables. It was actually seating for 16, plated three course meal.
18.
18, you're right. Yeah. 18. Wow. So there was a lot of
there was a lot of people. Okay. So I wanted to share with you guys the menu. So I thought you guys would think this was fun. So I did a keto dinner. So just quickly give you a rundown. For my birthday, we did a murder mystery dinner. Uh-huh. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, well, I guess I was just going to add too that you probably a lot of people didn't know it was keto. They just thought it was an amazing meal.
Yes.
It wasn't like we said, right. Come to a keto dinner. No.
For the most part, these are our 16 closest friends. I mean, they're just, so they know everything about us. They definitely know what I do. They definitely know my food philosophy. They know my podcast, all that stuff. So it was kind of fun. I think that they were like, you know, let's see what we're going to get for dinner. But so just to kind of set it up for you guys, we had a murder mystery dinner here. So we had hired Derek.
Murder mystery company.
We picked the theme of the evening. And since I was born in 1978 and I grew up in the 80s, we decided to do an 80s themed murder mystery. They had an 80s themed one, so it was really fun. You know, they do a play on names for, like, you know, it was a famous rocker and his one of his bandmates or his, you know, manager or whatever. And then our guests, they integrated some of our guests, about eight of our guests were actual participants in the show.
Actors.
So they give them their role and then they give them a couple of props to wear. They give them a name tag. And then these guests perform, so to speak, during this 2-hour dinner event. It was really, really fun.
And everybody really stepped up. Like,
they
did accents. And like, I mean, like for an improv kind of deal with people I've never, like, would think that would be in it. It was, the more people participated, the more fun it was.
Yeah.
And the more dramatic people got with their
roles. Well, and I think the first couple of lines and couple of things, people were a little more reserved. And then as other people kind of started stepping out, then
people
they're like,
there,
okay.
I'm going to outdo that guy. And
it was so fun.
The crazy doctor and the Cuban friends.
It was perfect. I mean, and they gave people the perfect roles. It was really fun. So anyway,
they hand out awards at the end.
Yeah, they hand out awards.
Best dressed, all that.
Yeah. And the people that figured it out, we actually had two of the couples that figured out who did the killing. Because then you get to submit who you think actually did it. So it was just a blast. Okay, so anyway. So
you said you were going to tell everybody the menu.
I know. So that was super fun. We went through all that. So the menu I got to prepare with Ethan, Ethan is a fond deli and lunch, I believe is what they call it. And it is a small little restaurant here in Montgomery, Ohio, and they do this farm to table. He buys all of his stuff from local farms and meats and everything, and he does breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They've moved it to that. And my girlfriend and I, Christine, which you guys have heard me talk about on this podcast many, many times now, we walk once a week, every Wednesday, typically. It used to be every Monday. And Fond is within walking distance. It's a couple miles from our house. So Christine and I would walk there a lot. We like to change it up, and lately we've been doing a couple other breakfast places, but they make amazing breakfast. So we'd walk up there and grab breakfast and whatnot. Derek and I have been to a couple of events that Fond has catered. He will go and do like these very nice farm to table sit down events. And we've been to a couple of those, and I just fell in love with his cooking style and how he is just an artist. His food is such artistry. So just love that so much. And so I really wanted to hire him to do it. And I was blessed enough that he was willing to do it. And he came out to do this dinner. So worked with him on the menu, and pretty much he came up with it. I made like one tweak and that was it. But for our appetizer, we did a 3-course meal. So for our appetizer, we did a pork terrine with smoked apple butter, toasted hazelnuts, caramelized fennel mustard, pickled turnip. And then he had little toasts on the plate if you wanted to indulge in the toast.
And that was like a crouton.
Yes. So the pork terrine, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's basically like a pate, but so it has pork liver and a few other things in that, and it's served cold or room temperature, and it's like a pate. It was so amazing, and I am very happy to say that I have about half a loaf of that terrine left.
Wow.
He left for me, so that is in the fridge waiting on me for today. That will be my lunch. So then for our soup, for our second course,
and the presentation was
presentation was gorgeous.
Like at a 5-star restaurant.
Yeah,
like,
and I got too excited and I ate that before I took a picture.
Okay.
But I did post on Instagram a picture of the mushroom soup and the entree. Oh,
and they brought it out with all the hard ingredients first.
Yes.
And then they pour the
soup.
So
the mushroom soup was quail yolk, pickled mustards, which are greens, leek mousse, and radish sprouts. So those were in the bowl, and it was so beautiful. I mean, it just looked beautiful. So they brought all the bowls out in front of us, and then they came around with the soup and then poured the mushroom soup on top. It was the most beautiful presentation. And I heard people say, I don't even like mushrooms, and that soup was the most amazing thing ever. So it was super good.
Don't you love just treating your friends?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I loved that so much. I loved hearing how excited they were. And of course, Christine, I didn't tell anyone before the party what was happening. And Christine was like, she's like, Ethan's here. Ethan's here. What's Ethan doing here? And I said, well, he's making our dinner tonight. She's like, what? I mean, she started screaming like a little kid, and she's jumping up and down. She was so excited. And then a couple of our other friends who know who Ethan is were like, oh my gosh, you have Ethan making our dinner for us.
It was like a celebrity dinner.
It was so funny. And then for the main, we had short ribs of beef, caramelized Brussels sprouts with crispy leaves, smoked Gouda grits, and a pan sauce. So I let Ethan know that grits are something I do not eat. So if you're not familiar with what grits are, they are made from corn, and they're definitely not keto. So I just asked him if we could make a swap, and he said, absolutely, let's do smoked Gouda cauliflower grits.
I always thought grits were potatoes.
Mm-mm, they're corn.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I always thought.
No, I think they're made from corn.
I don't know anything about food.
Yeah, I mean, I don't study grits, but I'm almost 100% sure they're corn. But anyway, so he made that, swapped that out for the cauliflower, and it was
so
amazing.
Nobody would have made a difference
either. No, but the food was so rich and so good. And I told him, you know, make sure you use plenty of butter. And of course he does anyway, but it was so rich that I couldn't even finish the entree.
Wow.
And that was all we had, but it was
so
good.
You should have let me know. I would have come and cleaned your plate. Then it was a bone-in short rib too.
Yeah.
Did you finish that
at least?
It was
beautiful. I left a couple pieces of the short rib. I'm so sorry.
I know you know me.
But I saved you a plate, though. There's a plate right in the fridge for you.
Okay, well,
can we have that entree
for dinner tonight?
Yes,
I'm sorry, sidebar.
So anyway, so that was amazing. It was a great party. So that's everything on that. I know I had many of you, which was really sweet, reach out and say, oh my gosh, let us know how the birthday party went. It was a blast. We had 80s music playing. Every single person showed up, totally decked out in 80s. I kind of did this whole like Debbie Harry, you know, from Blondie, kind of a Pat Benatar, maybe Joan Jett mix. Somebody said I looked like Debbie Gibson. They're like, oh, you could be like Debbie Gibson. So anyway, I just tried to kind of put an 80s spin. Myself and one of my girlfriends had crimped hair, and that was really fun. It was a fun throwback. Her hair was way better crimped
than
mine.
But seriously, everybody took it serious.
They really took it serious.
Which made it again more...
Oh, we had, like, Megan showed up in the total, like, Jane Fonda workout gear the whole leotard
extreme.
And everything. I mean, it was perfect. She won best dressed, and she deserved that. It was awesome.
It was good.
So it was just great. Everybody was really in character, and it made it so much more fun. And for all of these, I'm like the baby of the group. And there's only one person that was here that's younger than me. And this party was going until 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy.
I couldn't even believe it. The last people left at 2.
Good thing we spent the night.
I know.
We had sent the kids somewhere, our other house, to spend the night with the family. And so we were able to be here. So
we were staying here for the night. So that worked out pretty well. But oh my goodness, I was like 2 o'clock. How are we still going at 2 o'clock?
We don't
in the morning?
Do that very often.
We like never do that.
But it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was great. So anyway, great night. Okay, so on today's podcast episode, guys, we are going to talk about, we're just going to answer some listener questions. Now, I have already responded to these listeners, so they've already gotten these responses, but I just thought I would share these with you because, again, these are some questions that I either, I hear kind of the same questions a lot of the time, kind of over and over. A couple of them are a little bit new ones, but I figure if one person's sending them in to me, there's probably at least a dozen or so more that are thinking the same thing and just haven't asked it.
Okay.
So I'm going to have Derek read the questions, and then we'll just kind of go over them, and we'll get through this pretty quickly.
Cool. Okay, first question here. It says, please correct me if this isn't the right platform to ask this question, but I'd rather ask you than get misleading information. This is from Laura. Can we eat peanut butter on the keto diet, or does that count toward a daily carb intake?
Okay, so basically, can you eat peanut butter on the keto diet? Well, sure, you can eat whatever you want on the keto diet. However, there are some conflicting information about peanut butter out there. So as you may or may not know, peanuts is a little bit of a misleading name for that particular legume because they are actually a legume. They're not a nut. So on the ketogenic diet in general, most people would tell you that you don't eat legumes.
Like a strict keto rule
right.
of thumb.
So that's kind of a keto rule, right? However, having said that, I'm less concerned with what the rules are and more concerned with what works for you.
Or how your body...
Right. So there's a lot of people that can't handle peanuts anyway for many different reasons. There's a lot of people that eating legumes will trigger a response, will trigger cravings, will trigger those types of things. So peanut butter may not be okay for you on the ketogenic diet. Now, for us, we don't generally, Derek and I don't generally eat peanut butter. Just in general, I used to. Crunchy specifically is my favorite.
I used to eat it all the time.
Yeah, and I used to just go and grab spoonfuls of it and would eat that. And actually, if I wanted to do that right now, I'm okay with doing that. I don't think it's a big deal. There are certainly a lot of carbs in peanut butter, relatively speaking, so you need to watch that. There's other things with peanuts. There's a lot of aflatoxins and things like that that could kind of mess you up. So in general, peanuts are not the best thing to be eating. Peanut butter is not the best thing to be eating. But like I make those, your favorite fat bomb in the whole world is the peanut butter
treats
that I make for them. I would say in general, to answer her question, can we eat peanut butter or does that count toward carbs? Well, yes and yes. It's not an and or question. Anything that you eat is going to count toward your carbs. So if you it's not like...
You don't get a free pass.
Right, you don't get a free pass with certain foods. Every food has carbs. Now, I have also said on this podcast that that once you're keto adapted and you're fat adapted and you're in this lifestyle, I don't want you to worry about counting vegetables that you eat as carbs. Now, when you're becoming adapted, I think you have to count everything because your body, you will get there quicker. The enzymatic process is necessary to switch over to burning fat, for fuel, ketones versus burning carbohydrates, will happen faster for you if you stay more strict. And so in that case, I even want people counting carbs from vegetables. But once you become keto adapted, I believe it's very easy at that point for your body to switch back and forth and it doesn't get confused by carbohydrates that you're taking in and things like that. It doesn't use those as an excuse to not switch over enzymatically to burning fat. So peanut butter, I would think, falls into that category. For most people, I would recommend that you kind of stay away from the peanut butter and things like that until you're fat adapted so that you can, that doesn't become a problem for you.
That makes sense.
And then in this particular email, she also asked a second question here. She says, I'm sorry, one last question. So I responded to her, basically gave her kind of the same thing that I just said to you guys here. And then she said, one more last question. This one is much more important. How can donating plasma affect you when living the keto lifestyle? I've read some mixed things and I wanted to start donating in March. I don't know if that is dangerous. So I let her know that as far as I know, I do not know of any reasons that I'm aware of medically that giving blood when you're in ketosis would be any different than when you're not in ketosis. Now, having said that, I'm not a medical doctor and I don't give medical advice. So if you have specific questions about that or you're concerned medically about that, then I would definitely suggest that you speak to your doctor about if there's anything. But some of the tips that I would give you for when you are donating blood, especially when you're in ketosis, but anytime you're donating blood, these would be important, is make sure that you're drinking lots of water after giving blood so that you are getting, and make sure that you're also getting adequate to higher than normal calories and fat intake following a couple of days after you give the blood to help restore your vitamins and minerals in your body. So I think it's important to remember that sometimes when you're ketogenic, it can be easy to kind of undereat or, you know, just not, we do a lot of intermittent fasting kind of naturally. And so I don't really know if under eating is the right word, although I do see that a lot too, because you'll intermittent fast and then
you don't make up for it.
Yeah, you don't make up for it. So when in that shortened window of eating time, somebody might just eat 1600 calories and that's not adequate calories. You need to eat more than that. So in general, just making sure that after, I would say 2 to 3 days after giving blood, try not to actually intermittent fast. Just go ahead and eat 3 meals a day, even if you're not super hungry, because this is going to help your body to replenish the minerals and vitamins that you're going to lose during that period of time. You want to make sure that you're also, it's super important for your electrolyte levels, because that is can really make you not feel good and make you feel kind of down and like you don't want to get out of bed, just too tired. Your body just doesn't have enough resources if you don't have enough electrolytes to do the things that it needs to be doing. So that may not be a bad time to actually do some high dose levels of vitamin C, maybe some iron as well. And then you could supplement with something like Keto Vitals. They have an electrolyte capsule, and that could potentially be helpful as well to take at least a few days after. You can just take one of those capsules a day, and that will help to kind of replenish your electrolytes.
Sounds good. All right, I got another question here for you.
All right.
So this is Tracy. She says, subject, Insta Ketones. Hi, Jessica. I'm about halfway through all your podcasts. I'm still in the exploration mode on keto. My husband and I have been trying to follow keto, although loosely at times, since September. What's your take on ketone supplements? I listened to your podcast on supplements, but unless I tuned out that moment, I didn't hear you mention supplements out there for ketones. Is there another podcast where you talk about these? I'm pretty skeptical about supplements, but I wanted to get your thoughts. I think I'm leaning toward that they're a total waste of money. Thank you, Tracy.
So in general, Tracy, I think you kind of answered your own question. I think most people know when they think about these exogenous ketones, which means they are not produced by your body. They're something you're bringing into your body. I think most people know that they're probably not the best idea, but they think, well, I don't know, maybe it'll help give me an edge, or maybe there's some reason I want to do this. So Tracy, you did not tune out during that part of the supplement podcast. So in that supplement podcast, which I don't have the number of which one that was in front of me right now, but I did not talk about exogenous ketones because they are not something that I feel that you should be supplementing with. So in general, these exogenous ketones, we've got several companies that are making these now. And in general, these things are made more, now I don't want maybe I shouldn't say they're made for this reason. Let's just say that most people taking these exogenous ketones are doing it as a way to get around having to do the work required to actually become ketogenic.
Well, like I listened to one podcast and the guy was basically saying, hey, if you want to get into ketosis in the same day you start this new diet, take this. Mm-hmm. So to me, I guess potentially.
But see, that's wrong.
Well, I'm just telling you from my point
yes,
of view.
Yes, but let me tell you why that's wrong. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly what you just said is what a lot of people think.
Well, because this guy said, well, you can start at 8 a.m. in the morning on Monday and say, okay, I'm starting my new keto diet. Mm-hmm. And you start taking these supplements and you're in ketosis immediately.
But that's wrong.
Okay,
you're not.
But that's what the guy
right.
was saying.
But let me tell you why it's wrong. So to be in ketosis means that, so your body, your liver produces ketones, right? And you only produce ketones if your body is in ketosis. It's fat adapted. It is producing ketones and, well, okay, let me back up.
Before fat adapted.
It doesn't, that's not actually the only time that your body would produce ketones, but it's going to produce ketones as your preferred fuel source, and you're going to burn those ketones in nutritional ketosis. That is the definition of nutritional ketosis, right? It's your body's preferred fuel source, and it is what you are eating to provide it that fuel source. If you are taking exogenous ketones, like these ketone salts and these ketone esters, and I'm not going to name the brands, but everybody I'm sure is aware of what they are. She does talk about the Instaketones, which is one of them. If you are taking those, that does not make you in ketosis.
That just
puts ketones in your bloodstream.
What's the benefit? That gives some of the benefits.
So loosely speaking, because some of the benefits of being in ketosis are increased energy, increased mental function, because our bodies can really use those ketones, and they're such good fuel for our brain. I mean, they are what our brain prefers. And yes, our brain does need glucose, which we've talked about this before, but you're going to get more than adequate amounts of glucose just from eating veggies or whatever small amount of carbohydrates you're going to make. And let's remember that your body doesn't even have to have you bring in any carbs at all. Mm-hmm. It can make glucose on its own through gluconeogenesis. So it does not need anything for you. You don't have to bring any
sure,
sugars.
I get that.
But so back to the ketosis. So for them to say, if you take this ketone supplement and start the diet, you're going to be in ketosis quicker. That's not true. Your body still has to switch over. Ketosis is the whole process. It's not just having ketones present.
But then theoretically, the benefit they get is maybe the increased brain clarity or something.
Yeah, so
like that.
I could see you would get like maybe that, and you would get extra, extra energy, maybe those types of things. There's no denying that. But I think where the problem comes in is, number one, for me, you know, my podcast is Keto Lifestyle. It's named that on purpose because this is a lifestyle. And one of the things that I have read from these companies that produce these exogenous ketones is, this is not verbatim, but pretty close to this on their website, one of them says, this diet is difficult to stick with, cannot be maintained. So instead of trying to do this diet,
a strict
keto diet that's impossible to stick with, just eat what you want to eat and take these ketone supplements, and you're going to be in ketosis. Well, so that's not cool. Exactly. That's wrong.
Well, I kind of feel like, and everybody's out there has their own motivation, so you can't, you know, judge everybody. But it just sounds like to me like someone's kind of jumping on a bandwagon a little bit.
They are. Well, and unfortunately, the majority of these things are MLMs. So they're multi-level marketing systems. So, of course, people are that are selling these are going to tell you all these amazing things about them because that's how they make money, is if you buy them. So that's a big deal. But so what, I have a few issues with these, and I let Tracy know these, but just to quickly run through them for you guys. So ketones are made by our liver. Switching your body over to using ketones as fuel instead of carbs will lead to weight loss because your body will begin to release stored fat from your body for fuel. This is such a great way to help get rid of some of those dangerous dangerous fat stores off of your body. Like we're getting rid of the fat stores in our liver, which can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. If we do not help get those things, you know, get that out of there, we can get rid of some of the fat that is around the organs and their midsection that we do not need, some of those types of things. So that's good, but our body needs to be able to effectively do this by producing our own ketones and actually being in nutritional ketosis. The ketone esters do not put you in ketosis. They simply make your body produce ketones. So if you're measuring through blood or urine, you will, if you take these ketones, you can eat carbohydrates all day long, not be in ketosis whatsoever. You can drink one of these drinks, test yourself an hour later, and you will show ketones in your bloodstream or your urine. So, but you know, that doesn't make you in ketosis. Then I also told her that, like I just told you guys, the keto lifestyle, you know, it's not just about being in ketosis for the sake of being in ketosis. It's all of the health benefits that come along with your body using ketones for fuel. There's vast reasons why you want that to be, but taking a ketone ester is forcing your body into that is not going to address those things. I also let her know that relying on these for weight loss, which they claim that you can lose weight if you are in this because it forces your body to use fat. I'm not sure that there's studies showing that, but let's just assume that you can lose weight doing this. Then this makes using these exogenous ketones like any other diet, pill, formula, you know, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, whatever that you would get on, it makes it the same thing. It's not a lifestyle. It's not long-term. So as soon as you decide to stop buying these ketones, stop drinking these ketones and go back to your normal thing, because you've not taught your body or yourself any different habits, you're just going to put all the weight back on and then some.
That seems like it makes sense to me.
So that's pretty much my take on that, guys. And, you know, I really have not done a lot of research on these. So I am definitely not going to, pretend like I am the authority on exogenous ketones. But just from the standpoint I'm coming from, there may be some good applications for these. I could see where using these as a therapeutic thing for epilepsy control could be good, to have those ketones present in your body. I could definitely see how that might be helpful in addition to maintaining a proper diet. Or I have heard that there you can increase your physical performance. So if you are an athlete,
I've heard of that too. Yeah.
So I could see those applications, but unless you're using them for something like that, I don't see the point.
All right. All right. So before I get to the next question, by the way, you look beautiful today.
Aww.
Am I allowed to say that on the podcast?
I guess you just did.
Right,
thank you.
Well, you look good today. So, all right. Not that you don't normally look good.
You look good today. Like,
extra
is that
special.
Shock?
Extra special. All right, let's go with the next one here. It says, from Dina, subject line, fatigue. Hey, Jessica, I really love your podcast and Facebook page. I listen to you all the time. I feel like you're a wealth of knowledge. I really enjoy all the keto info. I'm really trying to transition my life into a more healthy way of living. I've been eating keto for 6 weeks. I've experienced headaches and fatigue beginning now. My headaches have been gone for a while now, but I still feel tired all the time. I even look exhausted. People say to me, "You look tired today." I feel absolutely exhausted all the time. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I have not experienced the keto energy I hear everyone talking about. I don't have any medical problems. I'm 33, 5'3", 118. I've lost 6 pounds already since starting keto. I drink a lot of water every day, about 60 ounces. I eat 1,600 calories a day, 60 grams of protein, 25 net carbs, 120 of fat. I strength train 4 days a week. I really don't do cardio because I hate it. I have a job that requires me walking a lot at work. I get pretty good sleep, 6 to 7 hours a night, depending on if my kids sleep or not. I put Himalayan sea salt on my foods. I take 500 milligrams of magnesium every day. I'm not sure if there's something I'm missing here, but I even have bags under my eyes every day. Could you give me some suggestions on exhaustion with keto? Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Dina, these are great questions, and I did get back to Dina on these already because I wanted her to be able to get started with kind of some of these suggestions in hopes that they would help her out. as quickly as possible. But basically, I just kind of went over some of the general information that we've talked about before in regards to kind of the headache and fatigue, especially in the beginning of keto. So she said that she has been keto for 6 weeks now. And that I would still consider the beginning of keto. I mean, you are probably becoming fat adapted around that point. Most people are not still experiencing fatigue or headaches or anything. You definitely should not still be experiencing that during this time, because you should definitely be over that whole kind of keto flu situation, which happens to a lot of people in the beginning, because as you dump the water, which you hold when you are a carb burner, when you're eating all the carbs, you hold on to a lot of water. It makes you retain water. And so a lot of times you hold on to more minerals and more electrolytes. When you dump all of that in the beginning, typically in the first 3 or 4 days, is when people get this keto flu. And that happens largely because you dump all those electrolytes and then you're not replenishing those. And so so you kind of go through that. It also happens, can go on a little bit longer. If your body is kind of going through these enzymatic processes and changing from a carb burner to a fat burner, there is a lull of, there's a period of time there where you're kind of in a lull and you're in between these two, where your body has the ability to access its fuel source, let's say. So if you're used to being a carb burner and you're trying to go to being a fat burner, well, your body has to learn that, right? So it literally has to switch enzymes and has to build up these new enzymes that you need to be able to effectively utilize fat for fuel. So while it's going through that process, you will be more tired and you could potentially have headaches and just have kind of these things going on while your body's trying to switch over. So that's definitely possible. One of the other things that I kind of mentioned to her and I think is really important is that we can't assume that we're in ketosis. So she gave me all of the numbers for, you know, her weight, the macros, you know, what her calories are that she's eating per day, all of those types of things, which is great information. But what that doesn't tell me, and it doesn't tell her, is if she's actually in ketosis or not. You know, is she actually fat adapted? Is she actually producing ketones? So the only way that you know that is by measuring. So in the beginning of trying to become fat adapted, we have definitely gone over this in this podcast. I think we even talked about it on the last episode or maybe the one before that. It's been several of them. We have talked about the urine strips. You can use those. I feel comfortable letting, having clients use those up through the first like 6 weeks or so. And after that, they're pretty much not helpful anymore. So if she wanted to test that way, she could have been testing that way to see if she's in ketosis or at least to see that she's producing ketones. That's helpful. That at least gives you some kind of parameter to go by. But after that point, I definitely recommend switching to a breath ketone meter, which there's the new level. I don't have any I don't have experience with the level, but I have heard that it's good. And then there's the Ketonics breath ketone meter that you can use. And then you can just use a blood ketone meter. I personally use the Keto Mojo. I like that one. You can get blood glucose readings and you can measure your ketones. So that's what I would recommend that needs to be done now, is she needs to be testing with one of those to see if she is actually in ketosis or not. Because what happens a lot of times is people will get their carbs really low and get their protein in line, or in this case, I feel like her protein is really still too low, and they will try to up their fat. But when we're eating very low fat diets to begin with, and we're eating all these carbs, what we feel like is high fat may actually not be adequate levels of fat to give our body the fuel that it wants and that it needs. So she may be basically in this in between where she is just not getting enough fuel from either source, and her body is just really confused on what it needs to be doing. It seems counterintuitive, but if we are eating plenty of good fat and our body knows that it is getting plenty of fuel, it will begin burning the fat that is on our bodies and reserves when we are not eating. And that is what we want it to be doing. But if we're kind of stingy with the energy sources, so we're not giving it enough carbs and we're not giving it enough fat, then we're never going to get out of this kind of space where we're just not utilizing really either for fuel source well. And so our body is just really running low on energy and it's confused about what it should be doing. And instead of using the fat stores for energy, it's going to be storing more because it thinks we're starving because we don't have enough of anything coming in. So it's just really important to make sure that you know that you are actually producing ketones and you're actually in ketosis. So before we go any further, there's all kinds of other things it could be, but I just want to make sure that we're clear that you have to know if you're actually in ketosis before you can even start addressing any of these other things. Okay, so taking a look at some of the other parameters that she gives us, she lets me know that she is eating about 1,600 calories a day. And first off, I would say that that's too low. She needs to up her calories. She is probably, her macros are probably off because of how active she is. And she kind of gives us a rundown of like what her, what her day looks like or her week. Say her protein count, especially if she is doing the going to the gym 4 days a week. I think she said, I'm trying to find it in here. I think she said she's doing
strength training four days a week.
Yeah, strength. Thank you. Strength training 4 days a week. So if she's doing strength training 4 days a week, 60 grams of protein is not going to be enough protein for her. In general, being about 133 pounds, we can cut that in half. Let's say that should be about her protein intake a day.
70 almost.
So about 70. And so she's already low on the protein, but as a strength trainer, I would tell her she probably needs to up it even just a little bit more because her body can utilize that protein. So that would be number one. Number two, at 120 grams of fat, that's definitely not enough grams of fat. I know it seems, especially when you're new to keto, you're just like, well, I'm already eating 2, 3, 4 times the amount of fat I used to because we've all been on this low fat kick. So it can be difficult to actually get in enough fat, but definitely I would say the 120 grams, she's going to need to up that. So seeing the 1,600 calories a day, if she ups her protein accordingly and ups the fat, she's going to get those calories up. I would really like to see her between 2,000 and 2,500 calories, for instance, to kind of work from there and then see how she goes with that. In addition, the sleep, 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night is really not enough sleep. I'd like to see her getting a minimum of 8 hours of sleep. So I think that could also help make a big difference for her. She does mention that she is doing Himalayan sea salt. We've talked about on this podcast in the past that Himalayan sea salt, the mineral content in Himalayan sea salt is not consistent depending on where they got it from, numerous different factors. So I definitely recommended that she switch to Redmond's Real Salt. That is mined out of Utah. It is a sea salt, but there are very consistent mineral levels there. So we know that she would be getting the right mineral levels. It's very easy for your body to digest carbohydrates. So as a carb burner, she was probably able to utilize that fuel source a lot easier with her digestion. But unfortunately, what happens is because we are carb burners and most of us don't have great fat and protein digestion because we have neglected those two nutrients for the majority of our lives, we really have to get our digestion fixed. So some of the things that I told her to take a look at to know if her digestion is working properly is, do you have 1 to 3 bowel movements a day? Do you have gas? Do you, you've got burping, things like that going on. After eating, do you feel gassy or do you burp immediately after eating? Do you get indigestion or heartburn? When you do go, is your stool hard or very soft? Do you have diarrhea? Are you constipated or is going difficult? When you do eat, does your stomach feel overly full? After eating, are you exhausted and you feel like you would love to take a nap? So if you're struggling with any of those types of issues, then that any of those are indicators that your digestion's not right. And many of them are so common that we think they're normal. So none of those are normal. You should not have gas. You should not feel bloated. You should not have any of those things going on. And if you are, then your digestion, something's off in your digestion. So it could be in the beginning of the digestive process with stomach acid and hydrochloric, you know, your hydrochloric acid, maybe you're not producing enough of it. And that typically leads to constipation. It could be at the latter time where your bile comes in or your digestive enzymes come in. And if you don't have adequate levels of those, then it could swing you the opposite direction. So having inadequate bile or digestive enzymes could lead you to having, specifically with bile, could lead you to diarrhea. Because what happens is if you're too acidic or too alkaline in your digestive tract, that is what affects this process. So if you're too acidic and you don't, when your HCl is produced in your stomach, that's very acidic and it breaks down the food. That food then goes to your small intestine, and that is where your digestive enzymes and your bile is added in there. And that takes the acidity down because those are very alkaline. So it takes that chyme, which is what the food is now called, down to a more appropriate pH balance, and then it can go through the rest. It can be absorbed and go through the rest of your digestive tract. If that doesn't happen and that chyme stays too acidic, your body will excrete that as quickly as possible because that acid it's made to digest protein, and your intestines are made of protein. So your body knows this, and it will get rid of that as quickly as possible so you don't digest too much of your intestines. As crazy as that sounds, that's what happens. Now, often what happens is when we start a ketogenic diet, it just magnifies these problems in our digestion. It's not like they just developed because of the ketogenic diet, but it magnifies it because we are eating typically more whole foods, more protein, and more fat, definitely more fat. But those macros are harder to digest than just carbohydrates. So it calls on our digestive tracts to actually be working the way they're supposed to. And this is why we can sometimes see these problems when we start to eat ketogenic. Anyway, these by no means is a complete list of all the things that could be going on or the reasons that she could be struggling with these. You know, I also let her know if she was a coaching client of mine and was trying to become keto adapted and whatnot, I would definitely have told her to stop the weightlifting 4 days a week, the strength training. That is really hard. Like I said, your body's trying to figure out its energy source, and that's just an extra drag on your body during that time. I like for my clients to kind of rest and take it easy when they're first trying to become keto adapted, and then you can pick those things back up later. But giving your body time to not have that additional stress on it while it's trying to figure this out is really helpful. So again, by no means a complete list, guys, but those are some ideas of what may be going on.
Sounds good. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up for today. Do you have anything else you want to share with everybody?
I guess one more thing on this last question that I do want to mention is making sure that your electrolytes are balanced. You know, having excess electrolytes can lead to high blood pressure, and having too low electrolytes, not enough electrolytes, can lead to low blood pressure. So another thing that you can do is kind of know where you fall in that. You know, if you don't have enough of what your body needs, or you have too much, that can cause these types of issues as well. So, I mean, electrolyte imbalances can be a really big deal for people. And I think that we don't really think about that. And we definitely don't think about low blood pressure causing issues. I think we all know if you have high blood pressure, you know, more than likely your doctor is going to put you on a blood pressure reducing medication right away. And, you know, basically they just scare us to death about high blood pressure, and for good reason. I mean, there's issues with having high blood pressure, but I don't think that we give enough thought to the fact that low blood pressure also can cause a lot of problems. And low blood pressure symptoms are a lot of the things that she mentions in her questions about how she's feeling, you know, like the fatigue and just not looking good, you know, feel, you know, there's that kind of thing. It can also cause, you know, just pretty much all of those things, headaches, stuff like that. So low blood pressure. So your blood pressure, the number one electrolyte that kind of helps regulate your blood pressure is potassium. So not having enough potassium can definitely give you those low blood pressure things. You could be feeling, you know, the fatigue, the headaches, all those types of things. And if you have high blood pressure where you're getting too much potassium and not a good balance of some of your other electrolytes, can lead to some of the other issues like a racing heartbeat or feeling anxious or even difficulty falling asleep or sleeping, those types of things as well. So, you know, it can kind of really, it can swing either way. And having high blood pressure can come from eating a lot of like table salt that is not like a good sea salt or a good salt that has a good mix of minerals. So a lot of processed foods, you'll get the wrong mix of electrolytes. And you'll not be able to assimilate a lot of those things that they put into those foods. So it can, you know, you can swing, medications can change your electrolyte balances. So there's all kinds of things that can swing that either way, but that's definitely something that we see a lot of kind of causing these symptoms that she's talking about and things that you really want to check and, you know, kind of be aware of. And it can just magnify these things that you're dealing with. So I guess I just want to say, like, it's important to know, and there are self-tests that you can do. You know, you can get your blood pressure. You can do blood pressure yourself. You can go to one of those units, like in a local pharmacy and find out where your blood pressure is. There are certain self-tests you can get to see what your urine or your saliva pH is. And that also can give you an indicator, you know, on what your health looks like. And those are some things that you can do with a coach. If you're working with a coach or somebody like that, to help you kind of figure out, you know, why are these things going on? Because there's so many different reasons that can be happening. And those are some things that, you know, a professional in this nutrition and health field can really help you get through. So.
Well, I think the big key is, I mean, you're not trying to diagnose anybody with these Facebook questions, right, and all that. You're more of trying to get some high level things that you want them to try to cross off a list.
Yeah.
As they're trying to explore this.
Yes.
For themselves.
Like basically, you know, here are some things that we would be looking at if I was working with you specifically. So kind of address these things, see where you fall in these categories, and that might help you kind of figure it out. If you guys have heard the banging in the background, we are here at the cabin and we've got some, we do have a contractor here that is trying to restore our internet function out here. So he kind of keeps coming up and down the stairs every now and then. So just in case you're hearing that.
Good thing we weren't broadcasting live today.
I know, right? We would have had no internet. Yeah. So anyway, that's all we have for today.
All right. Well, it was nice being on your show again.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
I'm glad I got to come out here and hang out with you today.
Yeah, definitely.
So thanks, guys. Keep the good questions coming. We'll address some more of those. And I have a couple more interviews coming up for you guys here very shortly. We'll have some great ones here in March that I'll be recording and will be coming out in the next few weeks, March and April. So those will be great, but keep the good questions coming in and I'll keep doing these as well in between so that we can just keep getting this great keto info out to you.
Yeah. And make sure you share or, you know, kind of tell someone about the podcast, which
yes,
we always appreciate. And we get new followers every day. And also make sure you leave us a review so we can read it online.
Yeah, I would love
read
that.
Read it on the air.
Yeah, read it on air. If you guys want to leave us a review, that would be super. I would love that. You can go and do that on wherever you're listening to podcast. If you do that on iTunes, it's great. It really helps me out, helps the podcast be found a little bit easier and all that great stuff. And actually, while we're on the topic, I am going to take just a minute to address something. This is my podcast, so I can do that if I want. What I want to address is I do ask you guys to leave me feedback, which I really, really, really I almost beg you guys to leave feedback. So and most of you are familiar that I do that. And And I'm not ashamed of that. Like, I really want you to leave them. But I recently got a feedback, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is from, because I had a little run-in with someone who wanted me to coach them, but they were, let's just say that our two personalities were not going to match. So I very kindly told them that I don't think I'm the right person to coach them. And interestingly enough, immediately after I did that, I got a 1-star review on my podcast. But I did want to address it. I'm not even going to, I mean, you can go and read it for yourself. It's public out there on iTunes. So I'm not even going to address the listener, the name of the user that left that review. I have a feeling that they're still listening to this podcast, even though they're wanting to pretend that it's so awful, just based on our exchanges back and forth. But I do want to just say that I, you know, first of all, number one, if you love this podcast and you feel like we've given you guys any value or any good information at all, you know, that is what I am doing this for. I don't take all of the time that it takes me every single week to do this podcast to, you know, respond to the questions, to, you know, set up interviews, to do all of that stuff. I don't do this for me. You know, I love doing this. So, I mean, I guess in a way it's for me because I feel like this is what I'm called to do. This line of work, this is what I enjoy. But I put this podcast out for you guys. I have no paid sponsors on this podcast, and it is not because they have not reached out to me. I'm not going to tell you that I'll never have a paid sponsor because I might. I mean, it's not cheap to put these podcasts out there. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And since Derek and I are doing it all on our own right now, it would be nice at some point, if I'm going to continue to do this, to hire somebody to kind of do some of the stuff behind the scenes for me so it doesn't take me hours to put it out. And maybe I could just record the podcast and pass it off to somebody that could then get it out there for me. But, you know, not only am I recording the podcast, but it's all the time that goes into then mixing it and, you know, getting everything cut down the way it needs to be, putting everything together, getting it put out there for you guys to listen to. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, I have people that have reached out to me, dozens of companies, and some of them I like and I don't have a problem with at all. But many of them I am not, you know, I don't work with because what they require or what they ask you to do as far as advertisements, everybody does it differently, every company, and often they want, you to do some intro commercials and then they want in the middle of your podcast and then they want to get at the end. And so, you know, it's a lot of just, a lot of commercials, and that's fine. I know why people do that. I understand it completely. Like I said, it's expensive to do this, time consuming, all of that. When you're self-employed, time is money. And, I am. So it's a lot of work, but I do just want to say that, if you love this podcast and you're really enjoying this and you feel like you're getting some value out of this, free podcast, that I would really appreciate if you would go and leave me a 5-star review, you know, let people know how much you love it. This particular individual who, I believe just out of, revenge, left this 1-star review, stated actually quite accurately that, I'm sure that they had listened to the first 10 minutes and it was just us talking about ourselves and real estate and all this kind of thing. And if you listen to this podcast with any frequency, then you know that that is true. As a matter of fact, it's probably generally more than 10 minutes. I know Derek and I get pretty excited when we keep it down to 5, 6, 7 minutes of intro, because that's who we are and that's what this podcast is. I think, so that part was very true. And if you don't like the podcast for that reason, that's fine. I totally understand that. There are podcasts I listen to that I feel the same way about, and I may like the content that they're giving. So, sometimes, you know, I've been known to fast forward through the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of somebody else's podcast just to get to the meat of it that I want to listen to. And then there's sometimes that I really just want to listen to what they have going on. And I appreciate that. So either way, it's totally fine. But the indication in this review was that we are basically full of ourselves, have no humility, are trying to give no value to people. And I just think that it could not be further from the truth. I realize maybe the impression could, I mean, to be honest, I guess I don't really see how that could be the impression, because Derek and I are really, truly so pure of heart with this. Like, we really are just, we just are doing this because we just want to give this service to other people. We just want to put this information out there. But, you know, maybe because we do discuss our Airbnb properties, and his, you know, that he is in real estate and he does this stuff, you know, we're just trying to add value to people in whatever it is that we're talking about. And yeah, a lot of it is about our lives in the beginning. We're just sharing, I guess. We're just sharers, and often we may be sharing because we think there's a good piece of information in there for people. Like, you know, we share about things that we love and that we appreciate, and companies that we think are good and worthy and good things that are going on, and you know, and hope that it's inspiring to other people that are out there. You know, we definitely come from an abundance mentality. You know, we don't feel like anything we have means that someone else can't have the same thing, like whether that's joy or, you know, whatever, happiness, money. I mean, anything, a business, a career, you know, whatever. And we definitely are not a scarcity mentality mindset, meaning that if we hear people talking about wonderful things going on in their lives, we're very abundant minded. It doesn't make us think that means that we can't also experience that same abundance. I think a scarcity mentality makes people think, well, if someone's talking about the great things going on in their lives, then it means that's something less for me. Now I can't have that because they have it. And we just don't live and operate from that mentality. So maybe naively, we talk about these things and assume that everybody understands that we're not trying to brag about things. We're just talking about our lives and about things we have going on. And much of what we share, like even our Airbnbs, I mean, it's a big part of our life and it's something that is exciting to us and we want to share. But we also like to talk about them because, you know, prior to us actually staying at our first Airbnb and doing this, we never even considered that we could do that. And it was a help to us when someone clued us in that there are even such a thing as these properties that you can go stay at that people own. With five kids, there's not a lot of places, hotels you can stay that you don't have to get like two suites or, you know, or whatever, or a big suite of some type. And that gets super expensive. So for us, the Airbnb thing is really a great service to us that's out there and it's available. So to us, it's a value add to talk about that. And some of the things that we talk about in our lives, we're hoping that you guys can kind of use that as some of the stuff to apply to your keto lifestyle or not apply. Like there are things that we talk about that we're like, we didn't do that so well. So maybe, you know, we shouldn't, maybe you shouldn't do that. Shouldn't follow in our footsteps. So anyway, you know, and I don't even use this podcast as a platform to get more coaching clients. You know, I do talk about what I do for a living, which is nutritional coaching, but I don't use this. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I am really, really booked with coaching clients. And, you know, I don't want you to take that as a sign that if you are looking for a nutritional coach that I won't coach you. But do know that if I don't feel like we'll be a good fit for whatever reason, I will tell you that. Much like I told this individual that I think got very distraught and upset with me over that. More of a how dare she not work with me kind of thing. And, you know, honestly, I just didn't think it was going to be a good fit. And, you know, I will very kindly tell you that. I would never be harsh with anyone over something, anything, but certainly not someone that was reaching out for help. you know, I will always be truthful and honest with you, though. And if I don't think that I'm the best person to work with you, I would certainly let you know that. But I just, you know, I don't even use this platform for that, to try and drum up more business, so to speak. I really have about all the business I can handle at this point in time. And so why I don't want to turn people away and deny them help if they would really like it. I definitely am not trying to use this podcast in a selfish way. I mean, my driving factor for starting this podcast in the first place was my inability to service everybody as a nutritional coach. I just simply couldn't do that, even if, you know, if I wanted to, I wouldn't be able to work with every single person that reached out to me. And so I viewed this podcast as just a much needed supplement, basically, to my coaching business in the way of, you know, obviously I have to make a living. I am a professional. This is my job. I have to make money at coaching people, you know, for my time. But this was a way for me to, I thought when I started this would be a way for me to put in a few more hours a week, but be able to reach hundreds and thousands of other people that maybe either A, are not ready to jump into a coaching relationship with any nutritional coach or health coach, or B, just can't afford to do it. And so, you know, I just hoped that this would give people a platform. It's this, you know, not a platform, but a resource. You know, and like I said, I know that I believe, you know, this is a retaliatory thing. And so I get that. It won't matter, you know, what I'm doing or not doing. It wouldn't change the fact that they would leave that review. But I really, really try hard to get this information out there and to help people. I mean, that's what I do. And if you've ever written to me or sent me, you know, a question or even comments on social media, I try really, really hard to be very present and answer people's questions as quickly as I can and with as much information. You know, I don't push myself on people as a coach or a program that I'm offering or anything like that. Like that's not what I'm in this for. And that's not what I do this for. I do this for people. Like I do this because I love to share this information. And I feel like if I know something that I could pass on and that might help other people, then that is what I want to do. I truly mean it when I say, I feel like that's my calling. This is something that I enjoy learning and my, you know, I feel like I was made to learn this stuff, and that this type of thing is not for everyone as far as the learning part of it, but everyone needs this information so that they can live their best life. So I hope that comes across in the podcast, and I hope that you guys are getting that. And if you are, then if you guys do want to take a minute to leave a review, that would be really super. I would appreciate that so much if you could go to iTunes and leave that for me. And that would be great. And it would be great to help other people know that I believe we really do put great content out there that you guys can use and you can apply to your lives. And hopefully it helps you in your everyday life and helps you make some good decisions in regards to your health. And like I said, if we do too much bantering in the beginnings of these podcasts, then hey, just fast forward through it. You don't have to listen to us. So you can just wait and, you know, just get through it, fast forward through it, whatever, and then pull all the information you want after the first 10, 15 minutes of the intro. And actually on this episode, it's probably more like 25 minutes. So, but hey, it is what it is.
Go leave mommy a 5-star review.
Okay, so I guess that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want to reach me, you can do so through my website, www.jessicatai.com, or you can email me, jessica@jessicatai.com. You can also follow me on social media. I'm at Facebook/JessicaTaiNutrition, or on Instagram, I am @ThatKetoBlonde.
You also put some pictures on there from the cabin and party, right?
Yes, I did. I put some of those on there, so you guys can check that out. You All right, guys. Well, I hope that that you guys got something out of this, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to my mommy and daddy.
This episode of Keto Lifestyle was brought to you by Mobile Mutations. Mobile Mutations is an app development, software development company based out of Cincinnati, Ohio, that is able to evolve your ideas to the next level. Whether you're a small business or a large corporation looking to get app ideas or put together a new portfolio for your online presence, please visit the website at mobilemutations.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Keto Lifestyle Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed what we shared with you today and are looking forward to the next episode.